Influencers, men's ministry.
Lord, shine your light on me. Lord, shine your light on me. You're the Heavenly Father. You're the King of Kings. So Lord, shine your light on me.
There's things that you're in, whether you like it or not. This is the way it is. You're in a battle. If you became a Christian, you left the opposing enemy, and you joined another kingdom. Those kingdoms are at war. You're at war. Father, we bless your name. And we want to sanctify your word, Lord, to our hearts, that you might speak to us this morning, and that we might respond, Lord. Lord, now I pray for our hearts. I pray that we would listen to your word. And I include myself by saying we listen, Lord, that we might be doers of your word and not hearers only. I bless you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, I like that word gravitas that, what was the guy's name? Jerry Leachman started with. I guess I kind of get the sense of that sometimes. I don't usually walk up with people laughing. I don't know why. I try sometimes, but it doesn't work. So, I just start talking. I don't have great introductions, but I started, so I don't need an introduction. So, all right. Question number one. Is there ever a time where you felt like you were not the spiritual leader of your home? Or like your wife was the spiritual leader of the home? Because if you ever felt like that, you were wrong. You are the spiritual leader of your home, whether you like it or not. Does that make sense?
Amen.
That's the way God created it. It's not an issue of better than or, you know, less than. It's not that. You're the leader. Now what? It doesn't matter if you were a Christian or not. You were the spiritual leader of your home. That was the problem. Right? That's why the home got better when you changed. Make sense? Someone else can try to be the spiritual leader of your home, but you are the spiritual leader of your home. You're the man. You're the man. God made you the head. That's the way it works. Now you have the responsibility. What are you going to do with it? Your wife will follow you if you lead. Let me say that.
Lead in love.
Lead in love. Amen. There are some different forms of leadership out there. Thank you. We do need to clarify that. You can't come in and command her to submit. You need to see if you can compel her to follow you. But you are the leader. And that's either the problem or the reason why you're succeeding. You see the difference? So either the problems are caused because you're of your leadership, or the good things are caused of your leadership. And the Lord has checked me on this time and again. And my wife tells me of an issue that's going on, and she's saying it, and I realize she learned that from me. I don't like something that she's doing, and I realize she learned that from me. Oh, now what do I have to complain at? Myself. You know, I got different issues, right? So, second question, are you in spiritual warfare?
Yes.
Whether you like it or not. That's sort of the theme there. There's things that you're in, whether you like it or not. This is the way it is. You're in a battle. If you became a Christian, you left the opposing enemy, and you joined another kingdom. Those kingdoms are at war. You're at war. You can't, you know, join the British army or even the nation of Britain. If you were a Brit in the days of World War II, were you at war? You were at war. Like it or not, the bombs are falling. Question is, are you fighting? This is why the statement rings true. Casual Christians. What? Become casualties. Why? Because there is a war, and some of us are trying to eat our lunch in the middle of a battlefield. It's not a picnic table. It's a war ground. We need to wake up, realize what's going on, realize the strength we've been given, realize our role in this, and protect our families, and live as men. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ." Right? God making his appeal through us. And so we implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him sin to be, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Did you hear like a doubting sort of phrase? Or like a conditional statement on we are ambassadors? Sounds pretty, just, in fact, in Hebrew you wouldn't use the word are, you would just say we ambassadors. That's all there is to it. We are ambassadors. You can't explain that away. So the question is, how are you leading? Not, are you leading? Because you're either leading them down or you're leading them up. You are leading. People are looking at you. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine." In other words, let your light shine in this way so that when they see your good works, they'll glorify the Father in heaven. But you know what? They're looking at you either way. But shine in this way. Shine in this way so that when they see you, because they will see you, when they see you, they'll glorify their Father. Not you. That's the implication, of course. And Jesus did a perfect example of that. 2 Corinthians 10, we all know a part of it, but not the other part. "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. But for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." There's some questions we got to ask ourselves. "For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh." It's just like saying when John said, "Though we're in this world, we're not of this world." Right? That's the same statement. Though we're walking in flesh, we don't wage war according to flesh. Or do we? If you are waging war according to the flesh, that's why you're losing. You are in a spiritual battle. If you don't wake up to the spiritual battle, you will lose the physical battle. This is why when Sam realized what was going on in his head, That's not Satan. That's not him. That's Satan. Realize, wake up and see. Wait. I'm a son of God. Why would I think of that? I wouldn't think of that. That's not God's thought, and it's not your thought. Well, whose thought is it? Take the time to delineate these things. And then you think, oh, you know, this is all just material. This is kind of the idea that comes from, you know, Satan wants us to believe this evolution thing so that everything is only chemical reactions. So that the problem, if there's a problem, the problem's on us. And, well, we must have been born that way. We can't help it. Poor old me. I have no purpose anyway, so I might as well just lay down and die. But that, you see what Satan's doing with that theory? The lie? That religion? It's a religion. You have to have more faith to believe in that than you do to believe in Jesus. Historically true. So, which one's the religion, really? But he's trying to take this idea that's put out in all of our schools and get us to think that what's going on in our head is all us. And then we have to solve it. And then if we don't solve it, we're not good enough. And then in some cases, if we can't solve it, you know, it's your fault because you caused this. And so we're not actually even fighting the right enemy. We don't even know where the shots are coming from. Well, they're coming from Satan. And we're just letting it go by. Because we don't want to say sometimes that we're in spiritual warfare. But we need to realize we are in spiritual warfare. Are you going to choose to fight? Are you going to stand up and be the man? Be the ambassador? You are an ambassador. You carry authority. Will you use it? You have a weapon. You're on the field. Shots are being fired. What are you going to do? Some will shake in the trenches and not know when to put their head up. But some will finally say, you know what? It's live or die. Let's do this thing. Right? I remember a friend of mine came back from Afghanistan or Iraq, and he said, I know God was with me. He said, I was running through this field, shots were being fired, and then I saw something twirling coming like this. It was just coming out of the corner of my eye. And then he said, I stopped to turn, and all of a sudden it was in slow motion. And he just watched it go past him. And then all of a sudden it just took off again, as he had just ducked underneath it while he could watch it. He's like, I know God's out there. I know God is with it. You know, there's no atheists in foxholes, right? Well, guess what? We're in a foxhole. There's no atheists. There's people that worship themselves. That's what they are. They have a different God. You see, we have to fight. But are we willing to fight? This is the question. You see, I often pray with people in regards to spiritual warfare. But I have a condition. And the condition is, what's the level of your surrender? Until you're willing to surrender, I can't pray with you. Surrender everything. That means anything that God puts on the table, you'll do it. Anything. Africa, your salary, your pride, anything. You did you read my notes? What is it? What is it? What comes when we have finally taken every thought captive? We are ready to punish every disobedience. Are we ready to do that? Are we taking the tolerance stance that the world wants? See, that's really what tolerance is. It's don't punish me. That's all it is. As long as people aren't punished, you can do whatever you want. That's where the line is. Just don't punish me. As long as I don't get caught and put in jail. As long as you don't condemn, you know, this thing. Are you ready to punish every disobedience in your own life? Because this is personal. This is not for other people. Taking every thought captive, being ready to punish every disobedience. Are you ready to do that? Finances. Whoa. I just struck a chord. Food. I'm meddling now, aren't I? But we've got to start meddling, or else people are dying. And I mean physically. There was a guy, one of the first things that got me to start praying towards spiritual warfare was a friend of mine that had graduated in a local seminary, and his friend also was in that same seminary, had called a friend of ours, mutual friend, that used to work at Chick-fil-A with us. He had now sort of moved to the East Coast because he had gotten lost in the world of alcohol and drugs and this whole thing, the mutual friend. He wasn't a believer. So, understandable in a sense. This guy calls him, brings him to Christ over the phone. But he's just a graduate from a seminary. He doesn't know much, right? You would think that he has some sort of equipping, right? And he leads this guy to Christ over the phone. And the next week, this guy commits, well, some would consider it suicide, but he overdosed on drugs, the guy that just came to Christ. And he died. He was younger than me, so he was young. And could his life have been spared? Now, the guy overdosed. Now, he was previously involved in drugs. He came to Christ, and he had this marvelous week of greatness in the Lord. And then so everyone's saying, well, what happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Satan put a big target on his back for every demon in the world to come and say, get him. He just left our kingdom. And unfortunately, the guy that graduates from seminary does not have the equipping to say, Satan's about to come after you. I mean, probably that much information would be enough to say, this guy realized, Satan's coming after me. Be careful. And could have saved his life. I'm not just talking about theoretical stuff. Now, I believe the kid's in heaven. I believe he is, because this is what Satan does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he only comes to kill you before your time. However, he could have had a much better way of going out. So he's rejoicing now, but he could have left a much better testimony if we would have sort of, we as the church, if our influence would go out, and when men that we train are understanding that we are in a battle and that Satan hates us. He hates everybody. He's not one of the kids in my high school class said, you know, I can't wait to get to hell and party with Satan. No. That's still real from that, like, audacity of, like, you are 16, so you do say things you don't understand at times. This is one of them that just, like, beats everything. But, that's what people think. They think Satan loves partiers. No, Satan hates you. He hates your guts. And he's going to get you to hell and stomp on you the whole time. He doesn't like you. He's not trying to get there so you can all party together. And this is what people don't realize. When you go into that sign, he's going to tear you apart. So what are we doing with what God's given us? We have to get down and be in the boot camp from time to time. We've got to have these little times. I'm sorry that it is difficult sometimes to hear, but we have to do this because as I'm seeing it, the reason I came to Influencers is because I finally found a man that was unashamed to preach the gospel of Christ in Orange County. One man. Pete McKenzie. Amen. To be honest, he was the only one I could find. Now, maybe I was at a church on the wrong Sunday. You know, and that happens. That 2 years ago was the reason why I kept coming here. We have a need in the church to wake up. We need to wake up. That's what he says in Ephesians. Wake up, you who are sleeping, and Christ will give you life. The church is asleep. We've got to leave it all aside. All these earthly pleasures. What are you not willing to give up? What is it when I say that, you're saying, don't mention it, don't mention it, don't mention it? By the way, you know the parable of the talents, right? This came out in a message while Pete was speaking up in Fullerton one time. And I stopped listening to the rest of his message and I kept working on this thing because he said something that struck. And it was on the parable of the talents. And I did this research real fast while I was there. Because I realized that most people use the word talent in an English sort of play on words. And then we say our talents that we've been given from God. Our abilities. That's what most of the teaching is on that. Do you know what a talent is? And by the way, the reason is because the one poor man that only had one talent, we sort of have sympathy on him, and we have more of compassion than God does. Or so we think. Do you know what a talent is? It's currency. Do you know how much currency? It's 75 pounds of silver. Do you know what that's worth? $18,000. The man was given $18,000 and we have pity on him for not doing what he should have done with it. He was given plenty. What are you doing with your finances? You see, the parable is about money. I mean, that's what it's about. And we can delineate it out to sort of apply to our abilities and things. But what are you doing with your money? You've been given enough. What are we doing with it? As Americans, we need to hear this. I need to hear this. I buy too many Starbucks. I'll be honest. This may be a commitment I need to make today. I'm serious. Like, I can make better coffee at my house. I promise. You guys have seen it. So, wait, what am I doing? But it's this American idea we've got that we can just go and spend it all. But there are people dying and there's things happening that need to be rendered. Fixed. We've got to wake up. Because when, as Bill said, when stuff hits the fan, you know, let's pray it don't stink. When you go through the fire, let's pray it's not all smoke. Because everything that's of wood, hay, and stubble, you won't find anymore. And everyone will go through the fire. Jesus said, every man will be salted with fire. Every man. You must go through the fire. What are you willing to surrender? And then you'll know what point of freedom you can come to. If you're unwilling to surrender, You're unwilling to have freedom. You like your slavery. You like your sin. And Jesus won't save you from your friends. That's the reality. If you like the guys that you're playing with on the other team, he'll let you play with them. But if you want to be on the team, then you got to join the team. You know? And we can make this a reality in our lives in a lot of ways. Men up in the prayer room this morning said it a few times. You know, the idea of church hopping, sort of a ridiculous idea. It's the California American idea. You can do whatever you want and go wherever you want. And you don't need a commitment. That's what we do with marriage. Right? Go to a church. Serve. Humble yourself. If the pastor's not right, love him into being right. Pray for him. Pray over him. Lay your hands on him. He needs it. Be the man. Be the ambassador. Stop waiting for everyone else to do it. Stop waiting for your pastor to do it. Most of them are the most attacked and the least defended. So they're the ones waning. So we can't wait for that. We must be the ambassadors and the embassies. We have to do it. And it's not by our strength, is it? How do you do it? By surrender. You wait on God. You lay down your life. What does it say? Let's read it together. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you understand it, or are you not willing to do it? I had a guy say, I don't understand that verse. I said, no, yes you do. You're not ready to do it. You don't understand how to do it. That's what you don't understand. You don't understand how we can ask you to do that. To lay down your life. If you are crucified, when someone starts arguing with you, what do?
Later.
You're crucified. You do nothing. You wait on God. When someone holds the gun to your head, what do? You wait on God. Because His plan is the best plan. When someone cuts in front of you, what do? You wait on God. And you bless that person. Because you are crucified. It is sin for you to be angry at that person. Everything not done in faith is sin. When's the last time you heard that? Everything not done in faith is sin. We have a holiness without which no one will see the Lord. I mean, you get it? We've got to buckle down. And stay down. Stay in the seat. We're not in the passenger seat, as one preacher said. We've got to get out of the car, hand the keys to Jesus, get in the trunk, close the trunk, and say, you drive. I'm just in the ride. You do whatever you want. This is your car. We don't sit in the passenger seat. We don't sit in the back seat. We're going to still try to reach around and get the steering wheel. No, Jesus, take the wheel. Yeah, there you go. It's true. But we've got to sober up. Isn't this what Peter and Paul both told us? Sober-minded. We live in an intoxicated society. We're intoxicated with ourselves. We're intoxicated with entertainment. We're intoxicated with drink. We're intoxicated with food, with coffee, with everything else, with our money, with our enjoyment, with our luxuries. We're intoxicated. And if someone were to tell us to lay us down, they'll say, you're legalistic. No, you're being convicted. And you're not willing to surrender. Punish the disobedience in your own life. And then watch God use you as a vessel. But a vessel can only be a vessel. This is a vessel. It's a vase, right? Vaso in Spanish, right? This is a vessel. If it starts fighting against me, it's no longer a vessel. If this cup starts fighting against me, we're going to have problems. Right? The salt that loses its savor is henceforth good for nothing but to be trampled on. Right? That's not good language. Jesus wasn't always easy. But you know what? God loves you. And he has given you the power to do it. And the authority. You are seated at the right hand of God with Jesus in the heavenly places. We need to stop thinking we don't have the equipment to do it. He's already equipped us. We just need to lay down and let him work. Surrender. See, a sermon does not take a week to prepare. It takes the entire life of the man. Because the man makes the sermon. It's your life that's a sermon. Paul said we're written epistles that everyone can read. And Jesus, or Paul said also that we are the poema. We are a poem. We're a poem. That's his work. And he's writing a story. What are people reading? They are reading you. They are looking at you. What do they see? Are you ready to lay it down? If you're ready to lay it down, then we will pray. And you make a commitment today. I will make one against coffee.
Starbucks.
Against Starbucks. You don't have to do
that. Still drink coffee.
I will only make coffee at home.
Amen.
Okay? Help me, Lord. My wife's listening. She said she'd tune in today. So, this is on YouTube, too, so we got evidence against me. What's your commitment? We've already laid down our money because we never had any. And we realized early on, if the Lord's ever going to bless it, we just lay it down now. You know? Let's not start the bad habits while we've got nothing. We might as well start here. And then he starts blessing you. And then you keep your commitment when he blesses you. As the psalmist and the proverbs say, don't let the wealth get to my mind. Has that happened to us? Have we become wealthy and now we think, well, I can do a little extra with that. My commitment can change a little. It's a percentage base anyway. Careful. Is your salary set? That's what your family needs to live on, and everything else that comes in goes to God. The widow gave the most because she gave everything she had to live on. Is that what you give? Ouch. I know. Is that what I give? Well, there have been those times. So, Lord, here we are. You know our hearts. You know our hearts, Lord. Some of us need to give up pride. Some of us need to make a commitment for our finances this morning. Some of us need to make commitment to our families to spend time with them. To lay down this need that we have to be at work. and to make it work ourselves, but to rest in you and know that you'll take care of it and we do our job with our families. Lord, you said that you would bring the prosperity as we would rest in you. So would we stop working, Lord? Help us to let you do the work, for it's not by power, it's not by might or wisdom or intellect or figuring it out. It's by your Spirit, O Lord. God, would you pour out your Spirit now? And I speak against every spirit that would come against men right now to doubt and to resist this idea of surrender. I bind them in the name of Jesus. And I ask every man to just let their guard down and let the Lord in and tell you and instruct you as a good, good father. He's a good father. I can testify by what I drive. He's a good father. By where I live, he's a good, good father. He's not going to leave you stranded. Don't worry about it, guys. Surrender all. And let the song be true. Oh, Lord. Man, if you're making a commitment this morning, stand. You don't have to say it. Stand. And make that commitment before God and man. And do not be ashamed of what God has put on your hearts. Man, if you're making a commitment this morning to lay it all down and stand and take action. Some of you need to make a commitment with your finances. Just name the category that you're going to make a commitment in this morning. And stand. Out of your seats. Stand. Make a commitment before God. Right now. Be the bold men. We're here before God. We're not to be ashamed. We are not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven. We are here for the kingdom. We are citizens, not of this world. This is not our home. If you're holding on to this world, you'll lose it all. You'll lose everything you hoped in. But if you hold on to Jesus, you'll never lose anything. If it's your arguments, if it's the need to be right, some of you need to surrender that this morning. You need to make that commitment to speak differently to your wife. The need to spend differently. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you have done by your Spirit, and that we can be ambassadors carrying the authority of Jesus. You said that we would do greater things because you gave us the same authority. Help us, Lord, for we rely on you. And in your name, we come against the enemy. Do not let them prevail against you. Do not let man prevail against you. Here we are, Lord. We bless you. Men, let's stand before God and say, we are men of God. Let's all stand and say, we are men of God. We will live for Him. We are men of God. We will live for Him. We will lay down our lives. In the name of Jesus. We are living sacrifices. In the name of Jesus. We love you, Father. Amen. Let's go.